Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
Hi, everybody. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, and you're listening to the Good Friend Podcast, presented to you by iHeartRadio. It's a podcast about friendship. We talk about everything. We cry, we laugh. We think about what it really means to be a good friend. And I have conversations with some of my best friends, some people I've never met, and sort of everything in between. So I hope by the end of it that you have a really good sense of what friendship means to me and the people that I consider friends. And I hope you can take those same ideas into your own friendship groups. And I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, friend.
She's talking to you.
Well, I'm talking to both of you. Hi, friend. Hi, friends.
Hello.
You guys are my good friends. Thank you for being here. For my uninitiated listener, I am so f***ing excited to be talking to my friends, Niecy Nash and Jessica Betts, her husband, and my newly married friends, or not so newly anymore, right?
No, we're what, 6 months in?
6 months. Yep.
And you're still together. Praise the baby, right? How's it feeling?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
I feel great.
Well, besides, I mean, it looks great. It sounds great. You guys, I watch you now. It's funny the way social media allows us to be better friends, because I wouldn't get to see you, and I wouldn't get to see you in the joy of your life. And yeah, you are in the freaking joy of your life, Niecy Nash.
Can you tell?
It feels it. It vibrates through what you share in the universe. The two of you. Jessica, you're much, you, by the way, Jessica, you are Christopher Guest. You are so quiet. You're quiet like my husband is quiet.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, it's so interesting because our dynamic is very similar to what I'm going to assume is your dynamic as a couple. Niecy is, I'm not going to say you're loud. You're not loud. You're
Yeah, she's loud.
Wow. Okay. I just have a full personality. Relax.
But you have a more boisterous personality, a much more outgoing personality. Just for the uninitiated listener, I believe we have a listener. So I do like to talk to the listener just so that it's just not us talking. It's like there are other people maybe listening. So I like to think we have one.
Okay.
I don't even know who they are. I haven't even conjured a kind of a archetype of the listener. But I do think there is one person out there in the universe listening in this exact moment. I need to let you know how I met Niecy Nash. There is a show called Getting On that if you have not seen it, I am going to suggest that you immediately jack somebody's HBO cable box or get HBO and watch the three seasons of Getting On, which is a absolute masterclass in storytelling, performances, and heart. It is as deep a dive into the beating heart. And the center of that beating heart is Miss Niecy Nash, who is an extraordinary presence on the show. She plays a nurse who is so gentle and beautiful. It's a very quiet performance and it's incredibly moving. And when I was cast in Scream Queens, you know, once a week, people would say who was going to be in the show next. You know, Emma Roberts and thing and thing and thing. And it kept going on. And once a week, they would announce who knew is going to be on the show. They said Niecy Nash. And I was such a fan of this work in this show. I thought, oh my God, I get to be in a show with this woman. So I text her, you know, they give us our numbers. I text her.
And I'm shocked. I'm like, JLC. JLC. Yeah.
JLC in the house. Right. And I said, hey, Niecy, it's JLC. And I'm going to be with you in the show. And I'm going to meet you in New Orleans. And we decided to meet for lunch on a Sunday before we started shooting. She had just arrived the night before. And I had already been there a while. And we decided to meet at a hotel in downtown New Orleans.
Yep.
And we had never met. We'd never spoken. And I think I took an Uber or something. I don't Uber. So however I got there, I got into downtown New Orleans. I don't think I walked there. I got out of a car, I think. Anyway, that's irrelevant. I was standing on the corner facing the hotel and there was a red light and I was just waiting. And across the street was this woman in this low cut dress.
How?
Basically, like her arms were waving. She was screaming, like kind of like that.
She was very glamorous, this lady.
I was wearing a burqa. I'm so anxious about that sort of public thing. And here we were in New Orleans during spring break, you know, where it's just a lot of people. And I'm honestly wearing almost a burqa. I look glamorous because I only wear black. And I had like this hat on. Anyway, all I know is that this woman was waving at me and I kind of responded with like, hi. Yeah, thinking it was a fan. And then the red light turned to green and I started to walk across the street. And Jessica, about 10 feet from her, I went, oh, that's Niecy Nash. Like I had no idea that she was that woman because I only knew her as Dee Dee.
You only knew me as Dee Dee Ortley. Dee Dee is very plain, no makeup, no spank, nothing glamorous. Yes. So when she saw the real me, all tarted up with makeup and a long wig and the this is and the that, she was like, who are you?
I stared. We went to lunch at this hotel. And I remember I just stared at her the entire lunch because I really couldn't believe that Dee Dee Ortley was inside her. I just kept looking for her. And of course, what happened was that I fell in love with her because this spirit animal, this spectacular spirit was there. So that's, by the way, audience person, how I met Niecy Nash. And then the only other thing you have to know is that I have a tendency to laugh if something is funny. I just laugh, and I have ruined work. I believe Kevin Klein does not speak to me to this day because I ruined some of his best work in A Fish Called Wanda because he did something funny and I laughed and I ruined the take. I'm convinced of it. So I have created a way to not laugh in a comedy.
Wait till you hear this, folks.
I take a toothpick and I pinch it between two fingers really hard below the camera. And I pinch it between my fingers really hard during the comedy scene so that when Niecy Nash does something funny, and I'm telling you, day one with her on set, she started riffing on something and I peed my pants. I laughed so hard I dropped to the ground. I thought, oh, I have to use the thing. I had a toothpick in my hands for the entire two seasons of that show because of Niecy Nash.
Little marks on her fingers. What are you over there doing? And then you know what? I have to tell you, I was so sad that I was in a quarantine bubble and couldn't be with you when you finally got to come to Reno 911.
Dude,
I wanted to be with you so bad.
And if you don't think that I had some toothpicks with me, because to be around those people, I had such a good time. Anyway, that's not what this show is about. This show is about friendship. I just needed my listener to know that's how Niecy Nash and I met. I met because I was an admirer of her depth, and then all of a sudden I saw her breasts and her not your the whole breast, by the way. I meant like the roundness of your breasts and the power of your presence.
You sound like Jessica. That's pretty much how we met.
Yeah. So that's actually a perfect segue on the podcast since it's called Good Friend. How did you meet?
Well, I was married at the time. And I don't know if you've ever been looking at something in any medium online, but that link takes you to another link. And all of a sudden you go down a rabbit hole. Well, in the rabbit hole that I was in, it was just late at night and I couldn't sleep. So I was just clicking, click, 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 click. And I ended up clicking on this documentary. And Jessica was in the documentary. But she wasn't interviewed in the documentary. She played her guitar and you sang in it. Mm-hmm. She sang in it. And something went through me, almost ethereal in a way, almost. Mm-hmm. It wasn't lustful. It wasn't anything like that. It's just like I felt like I heard a voice who I contribute to being the Most High say to me in my spirit, protect and cover or protect and take care of this person. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I don't understand it in my being. And I'm like, I don't even know her. How am I supposed to, you know, look after somebody I don't even know? So I said, well, all I could do is, I said, I hear you, Lord, but I'll just follow her in social media and, you know, just pray for her. Cause that's all I don't know this girl from a can of paint. So in the following her in social media, she ends up following me back. And then at one point she DM'd me and asked me if I would write a little or say a little video about her music, because she was putting together a video of different people of note speaking on her music. So I'm like, yeah, sure. You had me at hello. Of course, I'll do it. You know, I love your stuff. I make the video. But let me say, it sat in my queue for almost 2 months because I forgot about it. I forgot that she texted me. Then I finally hit her back and was like, oh, my bad. Is it still too late? Can I send a video today? And then after that, we just became friendly in social media. And so it's like, oh, hey, I said, there's a script that I'm doing right now called Claws. There is a character you might be great for. I mentioned you to the producers and they want to read you. She was like, what? And I was like, don't worry, I'll help you. So I helped her prepare via FaceTime. She tested for it, went in 4 times, I think, didn't get it, was devastated, but we stayed friends. So anytime I was in New York, we hung out, we would do dinner, we would run around, and we just, that's how we became friends.
If there's something I need, I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend.
We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break, so stick around.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Here's a clip from an upcoming episode featuring the weekly home checks, Keyshawn Lane, that you won't want to miss.
A common mistake that a lot of people do, they use fabric softener when it's not so great for your clothes.
Should we never be using fabric softener?
No, you should not ever be using fabric softener.
Wow.
It leaves a deposit on our clothes, which is also left in the machine. And it also makes the clothes highly flammable.
Wait, what?
Yes. What you want to do instead is just use 1/4 cup of vinegar.
And that'll make them softer?
That'll make them softer. And if you wanted some kind of scent, you can use essential oils.
Wow, wow, wow. Catch new episodes of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult every other Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Okay, I want to hear from Jessica. So when she didn't, when she said, sure, I got you, of course, and then didn't do it for 2 months.
No, but I didn't say that until after the 2 months. Yeah, Let me say that. Saw it, but I didn't say nothing. Then after the 2 months, I said,
okay,
oh, my
so
bad.
You be quiet.
Okay.
So my question. So when she didn't respond to you for 2 months, what were you thinking?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess I was thinking.
Don't try to kiss and make it up.
I was like, what the hell is she doing? Nah. Yeah, I guess it was more so about, I was working on a piece. I was working on a documentary piece, and I wanted her to be a part of it alongside with other artists. Mm-hmm. that I admired, and so I reached out to her. She didn't respond right away, but I had also reached out to other artists, you know.
So you didn't care about me and the fact that I didn't even say that.
No, but you know, it wasn't that, but you know, it's more so about how I felt, because at that point I was also in a relationship. So the initial point of reaching out to her wasn't to ask for a date. It was literally, you know, to link up, to collaborate and possibly right. work together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear you.
You see what
I
I'm
feel
saying?
You. Yeah. You see I'm understanding. I'm getting a sense of it. Okay. So, and then you started to, as you said, you auditioned for the show. Testing is fun, isn't it, Jessica? Isn't it such a good experience?
No, you hated it.
Isn't it just the worst thing in the world?
For me, I've been singing and writing and playing music all my life. So when that was actually the first time that I went to audition for any television show, mm-hmm. and this role, this lead or major role in the actual show was what, the Quiet Ann?
It was Quiet Ann, played by Judy Reyes.
By Judy Reyes. And it was so interesting how they kept calling me back. So I started becoming passionate about it. And
sure.
I started realizing it was something that I could do. They were taking me serious, you know? But at that point, it was just her and I having that connection with, like you said earlier, about being in a master class. It was just someone that I could talk to who really kind of understood. Obviously, I felt understood what I was experiencing at the time, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and by the way, that's a big, big, big component of friendship, is being understood, man. I mean,
yeah. And when I didn't get it, I balled up, and she was like onward, and she didn't, you know, pat me on the back and feel sorry for me. She was like, you know, let this be, you know, some motivation for you to now seek out some, you know, work like that. You're passionate about it. I can tell, because I shut down for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
So so she made me kind of understand and realize some other, in other dimensions of my art is mm-hmm. like, damn, I got passion for acting, you know, which right. is another great way to express yourself, you know?
Oh, it's a fantastic art form.
So a couple years later I went to audition for another role on the show, and that landed. And that's how we met, like face to face.
On the set of Claws.
On the set of Claws.
But we were both in relationships.
We were both in relationships.
And just to be clear, listener, there was no hanky-panky, no cheating, no kissing, no nothing.
Nothing.
No flirting.
No flirting. It was nothing.
Not until we were both out of those relationships.
Yes.
Let me tell you what's crazy, Jamie Lee Curtis. And that is that we were such good friends. And we were so used to seeing each other on the East Coast just for plays or dinner or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when we went out to go eat, we didn't even know it was a date. When, you know what I'm saying? When it shifted.
Yes.
We just thought, you know, it's what we always do. You know what I mean? And we went to go eat. And as a matter of fact, it was so much not a date that I left because she wasn't on time enough for me. And I was already at the restaurant eating crabs when she walked in. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, hey, sit down.
And I've seen you eat some crabs on the social media. So I know how you can crack into one of them.
Okay, that's what I was doing. So I didn't even know it was a date until it turned into a date. And I was like, whoa, who are you? I see you differently. What's going on?
And how long between that and how, I mean, again, this is, by the way, this is a podcast about friendship. I'm not trying to delve into your personal life. I'm just curious, because as you know, I saw Chris's picture in a magazine, said I was going to marry him out loud. met him and married him within 4 months.
Wow.
Actually five. From July 2nd, when I saw his picture in a magazine, we went out, to December 18th when we got married.
Wow.
I said, when I saw his picture, I said, oh, I'm going to marry that guy. Having never seen him, never met him, never heard his name.
Oh, no, let me tell you something. I never said that. Matter of fact, when I told my children, they were like, are you the same mom who was like, girl, I'm strictly dickly? And I was like, well, yeah.
Strictly dickly. Is that going to be the name of your autobiography?
Not no more.
Yeah, I was going to say. I understand. Thank you. That's pretty funny. No, I understand. But how soon when that dinner that turned into a date to when you got married?
We had that dinner probably in
October.
October, November of 2019.
Yeah.
And we got married August 29th of 2020.
Right. So it's 9 months.
But we were already living together. We had moved in March. So dinner in late October, early November, we was living together by top of March.
By March. Engaged by July.
We got engaged.
And got married.
And a funny thing I will tell you, speaking of friendship, Jamie Lee Curtis, I have never been friends with anyone and it turned into a relationship ever. And I've never been friends with the people who I've been in relationships with first. You know what I mean? I always started at lust.
Yeah, I understand.
It was a vibe. And then I already had good girlfriends. So I don't need you to be my friend. I need you to be my lover. You know what I mean?
I do.
So I never looked at them as friends until maybe a little further down into it. But this is my first time being truly friends with someone for 4.5 years. And then suddenly my eyes crossed, my heart opened. And I was like, get over here and let me love you, because ain't nobody going to do it better than me.
Wow. Yeah.
First time. I like it like this. I like the friendship part first.
Well, and I think it takes all kinds. It takes all kinds to figure out a relationship. And, you know, I'm very much like you. I never, you know, it had to be a sexual connection first. That was the requirement, really, to opening the door to anything. Mm-hmm. And yet there are a lot of experiences of a lot of people who were friends before and then, you know, had that moment of like, wait a minute.
I was just going to say real quick, because even in our wedding, we're such good friends that we have like a friend handshake. Mm-hmm. And we did our friend handshake during the ceremony. And people were like, wait, what?
You know what? I hope there was a lot of wait, what? And, you know, wait, what is the beauty of the magic of life is that, you know, if you just stay open to it, wait, what happens? And, you know, it happened. And it's thrilling to me. And I'm so happy for you both. So, Jessica, I'm going to make you talk right now. Here it goes. Here you go. I don't know anything about you. We've not met. This is our first meeting on a screen, but not on a screen because we're on a microphone with I am actually, by the way, looking very professional. Listener, I'm wearing headphones and I have a proper mic. I mean, I am looking.
Is that a Shure?
It is a Shure. Oh, you noticed. Yes, it is. I have a Shure microphone, Jessica Betts. I do. Yeah.
I have a 55, by the way. I have a Shure 55. By the way.
I'm not sure what number this one is. I know it has green lights on the top. And if you hit the button, the orange lights go up. And that's about as much as I can deal with. I've never worn headphones in my entire life until doing these podcasts. And I feel, you know, I get into my radio voice. It gets really low. And, hey, everybody. It's not good. Jessica, I know nothing about you. I don't know where you were raised. Can you give me just a snapshot of who you were as a little person, like where you started your life?
Okay. I am one out of seven children, born in Chicago, Illinois, from the south side of Chicago. I was raised also by my grandparents, who are pastors of a church. I am a singer, songwriter. I'm a lover, I'm a friend. And I am, this is a surreal moment for me, by the way, because I am talking to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, you are. You're talking to Jamie Lee Curtis, radio DJ.
Yeah, radio
DJ. Late night radio DJ, Jamie Lee Curtis is who you're talking to. I'm curious about your early friendships. You said you were one of seven. That's a big crew.
Yes, I have been best friends, and we all have different, very unique relationships. You know.
You're close, though, with your siblings?
I am close with my siblings, yes. Yes.
And growing up, how much did you rely on friendships to get you through the various unexpected?
Well, like I said, you know, one of my best friends is my sister. Mm-hmm. She's kind of built in, you know, because obviously we choose our friends. Yeah. You know, so there are relationships that are obviously more closer than others due to the experiences that you may have with certain siblings. So I've always relied on the friendships, especially from my sister, because it gave me strength. Promise, you know, I always knew that I wasn't alone in the world. You know, I could pretty much talk to her about anything, even about the things that I probably would never want to talk to anyone about. You know, friendship for me, that's what that means for me. So I don't know how I probably would have navigated through life if I didn't have those very important friendships. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it means a lot. I think that's why one of the reasons I married Niecy is because I call her Cora, by the way. So if I say Cora, that's just the name that I also call Niecy. You know, we had such an amazing connection as friends. And it was in times where it was just that. And they were the moments were very significant, you know, and it helped me kind of recognize parts of me that I didn't know existed. So it's really cool friendships. And I don't use that word lightly. I have one good friend, you know, we've been friends for almost over 20 years. So I don't have a lot of them, but I you know, you have constituents, but I friends, you know, confidants, people who you could really count on and depend on. I can count on one hand. Mm-hmm. That is a very important word to me.
Yeah. Cora?
Yes.
Hi, Cora.
Hello.
It's Jamie. It's very late and you're alone at your house with your husband. Cora, what about you? What about you growing up? I'm just curious about the role of friendship in your early life. I know a little bit about your early life because you've told me the wonderful stories. I don't think my listener knows anything about those stories. So talk to me about your early life and about friendship and how you ended up lying on a bed with Jessica Betts.
Because that's exactly what we're doing, listeners. We're in the bed. She's not.
No, I am not. I am not. Because that would be a different podcast.
That would be a
way different. Very interesting and probably very popular podcast. But that's not this podcast. So Cora / Niecy.
Yes.
I would just love to hear a little bit about the role of friendship in your early life.
Well, for me, I would have to say it was very important because you're trying to, especially as a young person, trying to find people who you identify with, people who, you know, you might hold in esteem in some way or, you know, groups or, you know, that sort of thing. And I remember in high school, I was very sure of who I was, which allowed a lot of people to not like me. Mm. I feel like I wasn't liked, but I was respected. It was like, she's her own thing. And if, you know, and I feel like when you're younger, when people kind of get together and they go, you know, we don't like you, and they try to mean girl you, they do that because they want to break you down or make you cry, make you feel self-conscious. And it never was going to work on me. So they just left me alone. So I wasn't bullied, but I don't think I was liked. Because I think that, you know, it was kind of a thing where they're like, you could tell her you don't like her, but she don't care. You know what I mean? And I really didn't care. So the friends that I did have, the one thing that was so important to me in those friendships was that we could laugh every day. Because I had to be around people who found the comedy and the joy and the humor in things, because I felt like my growing up was so, had so many dark clouds. You know what I'm saying? I saw my mother be a victim of domestic violence at an early age. My only brother was murdered. Like, I just had a lot of dark things that I experienced. So I was always living for the joke. And I was always looking for the comedy. And, you know, I had to laugh to keep from crying, literally. So I needed friendships with the class clown, with the person who was going to tell the funniest jokes, the person who was going to, you know, I could set them up and they knew where the punchline was going to go, and vice versa. So a lot of my early friendships dealt with uncontrollable laughter that probably happened on a daily basis, or I felt like I wasn't going to make it.
Well, I think laughter is the great common link. I was a smart aleck. And, you know, the worst two words were if the teacher said any questions, because naturally my hand would go up and, you know, I would ask stupid sports questions. I just was I was a jerk. I did it for attention. I did it to take the sting out of the horrors of middle school. You know, just that horrible, uncomfortable being in your own skin. It didn't sound like you had any problem being in your own skin. And if anything, like as you just described, you know, girls would try to kind of knock you off of your own skin. You're like, yeah, I don't know. But jokes, comedy. I mean, look, I married a guy who's the funniest guy, who will drop me, and it doesn't matter anything else in our life. You know, I have this feeling, particularly for someone like me, I can do anything. Honestly, I could build a house. I'm not saying I know how today, but honestly, I could build a house. That is not a concern to me. I can do almost anything to myself. I can pleasure myself. I can feed myself. I can build my own home. I can, do you know what I mean? I can create my own life. Mm-hmm. I can't make myself laugh. And that's the only requirement for a strong woman, in my opinion, is somebody who can make you laugh. Because I don't go to Chris for those other things. I'm right. Saying he's a perfectly good provider. He's handy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's useless, but you know what I'm saying. I do find that humor is the great, it's an aphrodisiac. It's the spark of life to me, humor. And because the world is dark.
Yeah,
it's true.
Life is f-ing hard. Yeah. You know, my favorite quote is from The Princess Bride, when the man in black is dragging Princess Buttercup and is telling how Wesley, her lover, you know, died. And she says, "You mock my pain." And he says, "Life is pain, Highness. And anyone who says differently is selling something." You know what I mean? I mean, it's painful. And so the spark of humor is such a crucial aspect of it. If there's something I need, I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season 2 of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Do you guys build friendships now as a couple? How does that work? Or are you guys just so happy to be in each other's orbit? I know you have family. As you said, you're very close with your family. And I know Niecy is very close with her children because I follow all of you on social media. It's amazing. In a way, this is a fabulous conversation to be having because we're in some way all connected through the arts, through social media, through some other tool. I wouldn't have seen Niecy except for that show, meaning I didn't know her work. Everybody was like, you never saw Reno? I was like, no, I didn't. For some reason, Reno, I missed it. I have subsequently, by the way, done the deepest Reno dive, and I have seen every episode more than once. I'm obsessed with Reno 911, and if anything happens on this podcast, maybe they'll bring me back a second time. And now, of course, I know you. And now, of course, I've seen your work on that show. But that's not how I knew you.
Yeah.
So are you, what's happening with your families? Like, how do you guys build this and expand your herstory together?
Well, it's interesting because Jessica's family is in Chicago. My family is in Los Angeles. So it's a slow build because we just for the first time went away with the children just to have like concentrated time of them to get to know us as a couple. You know what I mean? They know me as their mom and they know Jessica as my husband and, you know, coming by the house to come pick up food or drop something off or whatever is very different from like days in the same dwelling.
Yes.
So we rented an Airbnb and took everybody there and was like, let's sit down together and fellowship and and start to see, you know what I'm saying? Because in a perfect world, she would have her own relationship with my children. I would have my own relationship with her family.
Sure.
You know, and so some of her, like she said, her sisters, her best friend, and her best friend, her other best friend, have come to be with us all together in one space and one
community.
Right. In community with us. And with regards to other people, it's a little harder because we were in COVID. Like, we got married and started a whole relationship in quarantine. So trying to curate other friendships have not been as easy. You know what I mean? We're absolutely open. It is just a sign of the times.
Jessica, how do you deal with, you know, obviously it's a podcast for friendship, about friendship, good friend, my listener, you know, I hope they listen openly and that they take something from each of the episodes. Should they be folding laundry, listening to us? By the way, I've kind of constructed a whole life of my listener. and she works very hard and she has three kids and she, you know, she loves podcasts because it's a, you know, somewhere like 45 minute nugget of information that she gets. And while she does a quotidian daily task, though we all do, how do you deal with conflict in friendships? I don't know you at all. I've now met you for 37 minutes. I'm not getting a vibe that you're an explosive person in anger. Am I in the territory? How do you navigate conflict? Because there's conflict, of course, in life.
We can both answer that in one word. Let's say it at the same time. One, two, three. Therapy.
Oh, God, love you both. I love you both right now. So I am loving you guys so hard right now. You know what? Thank God you said therapy. Thank God you said therapy, because what it tells my listener is that it's okay to seek help in relationships, in feelings, in how we navigate each other as friends, in total harmony and in conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, and to stay positive and to continue to seek therapy when things are great, you know, so that there wouldn't be any conflict. You know, so it's like conflict prevention, you know.
You know. I love that that was an on three.
I already knew that. I knew what she was going to say. I was like, I can say this one with you, baby.
Yeah. As friends proceed and grow together, they also go through hard times together. And that is, and by the way, I think telepathy is a very big part of a relationship. The more you get into it, the more you really do start, you know, communicating in another realm, knowing what each other needs and all of that is.
That's that look you give your partner across a room and they know, oh, it's time to go. It's time. Let me get my jacket.
Yeah. Chris gives me that look like almost like 24 hours. Like, do we have to be here? Can we go? Can I leave? Can we go now? Yeah. No, I get that. Boy, I wish I was there with you. I wish we were doing this in person. You may not know this, but this show was born from a song. It was born from that song, Good Friend, by Emily King.
You know?
So.
No, I know of Emily King.
Yeah. Emily King is a talented artist. And what I love is that I'm talking to artists, that this show, the last thing I thought last year was that I was going to host a, you know, sort of conversation podcast. And there's a song by Emily King called Good Friend. And I love that you guys in a way. We're born from a song and communication and art and social media, by the way. You're going to be the first really social media couple, if you will, that because of that opportunity to like each other, follow each other, I'm now talking to a married couple lying in a bed together, laughing and smiling together, and I'm sure weeping together many times. And it's just a privilege for me here on the Good Friend Podcast. And I thank you both for being here with me.
I want to thank you for being my friend, because let me tell you what your listeners may not know about you.
It's just one.
Your listener may not know about you as a friend. You know, I don't think enough people, let me not speak for the masses. Let me say, I haven't experienced a lot of people with this quality of being ever present. Because when you're in the moment, when you are present, you are there. And by that, I mean, like, I was having this whole conversation, listener, with Jamie Lee about the first time I was nominated for an Emmy. And so I get nominated a second time, also for Getting On. And I was saying that I had always wanted this dress, but in my mind, but, you know, she said, what are you going to wear? I said, I don't know. I had something in my mind, but, you know, I don't know if I can find it. She said, what you will do is you will have it made. We will get on the phone. We will find a designer. We will start with the lady in costumes, and then we will ask her, and you will, you know, what does it look like? And I said, well, I can only make a chicken scratch. She said, well, make the chicken scratch. Make the dress, and that's the dress. Why are we even talking about this? And moved into a place of action of, like, here's the things that you can do to make this happen. So every time I see myself in the Emmy dress that I had in my mind, I always think about you. And the fact that I don't know that for that conversation, it would have manifested. Another time we was on a plane, she was like, you need to know this, and you don't have that. Oh, well, let me gift it to you right now. Give me your phone. Boom, boom. Like, just ever present in the moment, like a laser. What does it require? How can I meet you where you are? Let me drop these nuggets off, and now I'm gone from it. And I love that about you. I absolutely love that about you. And so thank you.
That's very sweet of you to say, but ultimately, if that's not what we're doing with each other, if I'm not leaning in and listening and watching and paying attention to what you're saying or what Jessica is saying, and if there's an opportunity for me to add to it, to build on it, to manifest your destiny, I will do so. If that isn't what a good friend does, I'm not sure what one does. So that's very kind of you to remember that.
As a friend now, I am just, you know, elated. I really, this is so awesome. Thank you so much for having us. You are a legend out here, you know, so I just want to let you know that thank you so much. This is really, really cool.
All right. Well, it's cool. And being good friends is cool. And our podcast and our listener is cool. I mean, we have a listener, people. God bless you both. Yes, to the listeners, stay safe out there. God bless you. And see you again soon. Good Friend is produced by Dylan Fagan and is a production of iHeartRadio. Our theme song, Good Friend, is written, produced, and performed by Emily King.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.